Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Circle Sanctuary Network Podcasts, brought to you by Circle Sanctuary, one of the oldest nature spirituality churches in the United States, connecting people of nature-centered paths around the world. Join us through the week for a variety of shows discussing various topics, celebrating the divine in all of its forms, through nature worship, rituals, education, and building bridges of community.
Welcome to Moon Magic with Jeanette and David Ewing. Tonight, we are going to be harvesting some things that we've been working on this year and taking this time to get rid of those things that no longer serve us. That is the theme for tonight's ritual. The full moon is actually on Sunday. We are at about 89% waxing, and it's within those 3 days of the full moon, so it's still a good time to work on things you want to increase, amplify, or bring into your life. And because we just had Lammas, or Lunasad, the first harvest, just a couple of weeks ago, I thought it would be a good opportunity to focus on those things that are working for us and get rid of habits, associations, and other things in our life that haven't been working for us. You could call it a reset. That's one way to put it. You could also call it a time where, since we are at the first harvest, the first of three, traditionally speaking, and because we are still months away from the darkest time of the year, we still have time to work on things. I mean, you can work on things for self-improvement at any time of the year, but if you want to tie it to something that's related to the wheel of the year, we still have hours of daylight that are more than the number of hours or minutes of dark that we have at this time of the year here in the Northern Hemisphere. And even more so for people who are living south of the equator, you are not quite at the time where you have reached even the equinox. Because if you're south of the equator, it's not the fall equinox, it's really your spring.
Yeah. It's the winter.
Yeah. And depending on how far south you are, it could be very wintry. Or it might not be that much of a difference at all, depending on how close you are to the equator, but
yep,
still south. So that's one of the cool things about doing things based on a lunar cycle, because you can set what you're doing, whatever it is, to follow the cycle of the moon.
Right.
You know?
Blue moon.
What's that?
It's also a blue moon.
This month is a blue moon.
Well, based on a different rule.
Oh, you mean for the quarter?
Yes.
Yeah,
because
talk about that.
So this is also referred to as a blue moon. But normally a blue moon means the second full moon of the month, and this is the only full moon of August. But an earlier definition is that the normal cycle is typically you have one full moon a month, so during each season you would normally have three. But sometimes you have four. And when there's a fourth full moon, then one of those is referred to as the blue moon. And this predates the whole, that's a definition from an old almanac definition from before the whole, like, once in a blue moon stuff and how, you know, that business, yeah. So, right, it's an old definition that, basically, it was cited back in the 30s in a Maine farmer's almanac. They refer to the fourth moon of the season being a blue moon, and it's usually when it happens. It actually happens in August. Usually it happens in August when it does happen. Funny enough, when there is a fourth full moon in a season. So this summer, there are four full moons, and they refer to this one as the blue moon, the one that's coming up, because it's that. So it's not the second full moon of the month, but it is a fourth full moon of the season of summer. It's kind of different and weird. One of the things you learn when you, like, you know, read about stuff.
Right. And what are the names of this month's full moon?
So this
there
one,
are several,
there
and
are.
It depends on whether you're following the Farmer's Almanac, what sources you read from. Some that are more, I would call it modern pagan or neo-pagan, might have different names.
Uh-huh.
And then there's also what I'm going to call traditional names based on some of the North American indigenous peoples. Depending on the part of the eastern or midwestern area of the what is now the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
or Canada that you're talking about.
Right. Right. So one of the names, going to that reference, it would be referred to the sturgeon moon is the August moon because of the large number of fish in the lakes where the Algonquin tribes fished.
Right.
So that's kind of where that comes from. Now, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. If Native American people, the different tribes and cultures and stuff, actually named the full moons, each moon, or was that something that, you know, white people did as a...
Something later.
Later kind of a thing.
It,
so
I think it might be a maybe yes, maybe no.
Yeah.
Like, when I was reading about the sturgeon moon, the person who came up with that name of calling it the sturgeon moon was a white dude who he was an earlier explorer in these Midwestern parts of what is now the U.S.
Yeah.
And he had first noticed that some of these northern lakes, including I think originally the Great Lakes, because they're big deep lakes, this time in August was a time when sturgeon fish
were
harvested.
Yeah.
And the sturgeon is a really, it's a big fish.
Oh, it is.
And
big, long fish.
Yeah. And the fish would have been harvested and probably also their eggs as well.
Right.
So.
It's also known as the corn moon, and that's credited to the Algonquin and Ojibwe. Ojibwe people, the harvest moon, and that's credited to the Dakota, and the rising moon, which is credited to the Anishinaabe. Again, I don't know if those people actually called them by that, or if that's something that was an affectation that was placed later as a, you know, kind of thing.
Right.
I'm not sure. And I always, personally, I always get a little itchy about some of the names and like, oh, well, this is the Native American name, this is whatever, for the moon. I'm like, okay, prove it. I mean, where does this come from? Like, from what source? I mean, yeah, can you take me back to an Algonquin person who referred to the August full moon as the corn moon and why kind of a thing.
Right. Yeah, and, you know, it's always good to be mindful about that sort of thing. A more modern, I'm going to say, modern neo-pagan name for the moon of August is also the green corn moon.
Right.
Because some corn is harvested, but again, this is in the U.S., but a lot of places, the corn in August might not be ready yet. It's probably only starting to be ready to be harvested in more southerly parts of the U.S. versus places like the Midwest.
Right.
Likewise, sometimes depending on when the full moons of August and September fall, sometimes the August full moon is called a harvest moon. Other times, the full moon of September is called the harvest moon. Are you confused yet? That's okay. So are we. So let's just say this is the moon of August. It is between Lunisod and the fall equinox, or Mabon, for those who call it Mabon, or the pagan Thanksgiving. Some people call fall equinox time the pagan Thanksgiving as well. And for me, these 3 months starting after Lunisod and really up to Samhain are harvest times. And just because we live in a modern world, and if you are living in a small place and no, you're not harvesting lots of your own food or any of your own food, I think we can still take advantage of the energies around these times. And if you look to nature, and not even agriculture, modern, organic, otherwise, if you look to nature, you also start to see in various parts of the Northern Hemisphere, plants starting to prepare for the winter. Mature trees will start producing acorns for various species of oak trees or walnuts, pecans, other trees that produce different types of nuts as well. Flowering plants have usually finished flowering and have started producing seeds from later summer clear into the fall. The leaves are starting to change and the plants are starting to prepare themselves for the colder months of the year. And so I do think this is a good time to begin the process of taking stock of where you are, taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
And we say that, and we've said this for years, but I feel like it's more relevant than it ever has been before.
You know, and you know, funny is that we tend to think that every time, like, you know, we would have said it 2 years ago, that it's more relevant now than it is any time before. And then, sure enough, nature or something kicks us in the butt and like, oh, you thought that was bad. Let me throw a pandemic at you.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
So I think throughout our lives, it's inevitable that we're going to have challenges.
Yeah.
And the type of challenge, the type of the severity of the challenge, how resourceful you are as a person, what kind of support network you have, will ultimately determine how well you weather this current challenge in our life. And it's going to vary from one person to the next. And that's why at this time of the year, and even periodically throughout the year, It's a good time to take, you can do this, maybe you can do this quarterly. Take stock of what's working for you, what's not working for you, and get rid of what you don't need, and focus your energies on what you want to keep and what you want to continue to grow and flourish, whatever that may be. So, tonight's setup is a little different. I'm changing things up. I use a variety of different things, and again, you don't have to have special stuff. One of the things I did as a crafting project several years ago is I bought some glass paint, and I bought
alcohol paint.
This isn't the alcohol paint. This is a translucent glass paint. I painted on the outside of jelly jars. My father loves making jelly and preserves.
So like,
quart
mason jars?
These are the pint.
Pint.
Yes,
oh, yeah,
so that's 16 ounces.
Yeah.
And so several years ago, I painted them, and then there's this kind of black, opaque glass paint I made some designs on the outside of. You can also use food dye and Elmer's glue, or like Mod Podge, and mix up a color of it, put some in the bottom of the jelly jar, you swirl it around so it's on the side, and then turn upside down on like a sheet of paper, and it'll dry that translucent color. So no, you don't have to spend a lot of money doing that. And I've got the different colors. I also wrote them in in rune script as well. So air, earth, fire, and water. And those are my elemental jars for tonight. And I've got tea lights in them.
Yeah.
I've used...
with a little bit of sand.
With a little bit of sand so that the tea light stays in the center of the jar. I've got my white goddess candle and various other little things that represent elements and animal spirits and so on and so forth.
Yep.
You can keep it simple with a single candle. You can use tea lights. You can use tapers of any size, shape. You can use votives, whatever. And so let's take a few minutes and let's get ourselves nice and centered. Put your feet flat on the floor. Take some nice deep breaths. Let the cares of the day leave your body every time you exhale. And tonight we are going to start by calling a circle of connection and community. Mm-hmm. And so start by enveloping yourself in a bright, welcoming light. and slowly push that bubble of light to encompass your sacred space in the room that you're in. And push it out a little farther. Let it encompass the entire room that you're in. And take a deep breath. Push that bright light of energy out to encompass the place that you dwell. And now send a tendril of light out into the cosmos. And see yourself connecting with members of your tribe, your community, and those listening in the here and now and in the time to come. And know that we are all connected. Circle of light, circle of sound, circle of community, circle around. Blessed be. And we turn our attention to the east, to the home of the rising sun. And we connect with the spirits, elementals, guardians, and deities associated with the sacred direction of east and the element of air. We ask you that you join us in our sacred space and bless us with the wisdom to make sound life choices. And to hear the messages that we send to our guardians and our ancestors and our deities. Spirits, elementals, and guardians of the air, we welcome you. Blessed be. And we turn our attention to the south, the home of the noonday sun at its strongest and brightest. And we welcome and connect with spirits, elementals, guardians, and deities of the sacred direction of south and the sacred fires. And we ask that you bless us with the power of courage during difficult times. With the ability to stay motivated so we may stay focused on our tasks. And we ask for the fiery wall of protection to keep ourselves, our homes, and our loved ones safe from harm. Spirits, elementals, and guardians of the South and fire, we welcome you. Blessed be.
Then we turn our attention to the West, and we call to the sacred direction of the West and the element of water, and we call to the guardians, the spirits, the elementals of water, and we call to them to bring healing to those who are ill, to bring compassion to those who are caring for the ill, and to bring empathy for those who are not ill. And we call to the sacred waters to cleanse our spirits and let us heal as we go through troubling times. And let it guide us as we deal with challenges. And in particular, to let the influence of the healing waters allow us to recognize when we are overstretching ourselves, when we're going beyond our boundaries, we're going beyond our abilities, or we're just burning out. And we reflect on these waters and the calmness of the sea lapping at the beach, or a brook, or a river, or a stream, or the calmness of a lake on a quiet morning. Let that calmness and that healing stay with us and be with us tonight. To the sacred direction of the West and the healing waters, we welcome you. Blessed be. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
And then we turn to the north, and we plant our feet on the solid earth, and we call to the elementals and the spirits and the guardians of the north and the earth. Let us be steadfast and grounded as we go through troubling times. We call to the sacred earth to bring stability to our lives, to let us be calm when we're facing challenges, help us remain prosperous enough to achieve our dreams, to meet our goals, and live our lives. And to help those who need help. Elementals, guardians, and spirits of the north, and the sacred element of earth, we welcome you. Blessed be.
Blessed be. And tonight, we turn our attention to the waxing illumination of the moon. And we call on and welcome and connect with these powers of the goddess, who's known by many names from many different cultures, Isis and Bast. Caradwyn, Artemis, Arianrod, Selene, Luna, and many others from many different cultures. We ask that you illuminate us with wisdom, that you guide us in making good life choices. And that you bless us with the powers of abundance and healing for ourselves, for others, and for planet Earth. Moon goddesses of many different names, by many different cultures, we welcome you. Blessed be.
Blessed be. Make a note of the fact that that candle, when she lit the goddess candle just now, the flame flared. It was a good 3 or 4 inches tall.
It got really, really tall.
And then it settled down. And that was kind of interesting how it just sort of kind of flared up there.
And so in the first part of our ritual tonight, we're going to focus our attention on getting rid of those things that aren't working for us. Maybe unhealthy habits or practices. It can be spiritual practices. It can be life habits that are no longer working, or associations with people that are not good for your well-being. It could be the job that you hate, that you really don't want anymore. or the place where you live. It could be any number of different things. So let's take a few moments. And jot down a word or a phrase. It can be, you can draw a symbol of it. And those are the things we're going to focus on getting rid of so that we can turn all of our attentions on those things that we want to continue to grow and flourish in our lives. And so when you are finished, you can put these papers in a small fireproof bowl. And if you are able to burn them safely in the space that you are in, you can burn them now. Otherwise, you can wait until the end of the show or after our podcast. You can certainly also do a time release of this, and if you want to wait until after the moon is waning, which would be after Sunday, you can also burn these at this time. Likewise, you can also bury papers in a pot of potting soil or in the ground. And with time, it'll just decay. It'll
decompose.
It'll decompose. And once you've done that, turn your attention to what has worked for you this year. New job, new friendship, new friendships, learning, taking up a new hobby, learning something new, following a new spiritual path. Maybe your garden is doing really well this year.
Ours is.
Ours has done pretty well.
Pretty well.
Mm-hmm. It's always an experiment, and
every year for us, it is. There's always something like, let's try this. And
things work, and some things work less well. Some things are always learning, growth, and education on what we can do with the space that we have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and things that we want to continue to harvest. So it can be a literal harvest.
Uh-huh.
It can be something like friendships that you have developed that you want to continue to grow.
Yeah.
That's always a biggie. We don't ever, and especially right now, we don't ever want to take those things for granted. In our lives.
No.
Okay, so we have a bunch of papers.
We got a few things.
We have a few things. We have our little wee cauldron. We have a couple of bigger cauldrons that we only really use for like big group ritual stuff.
Oh yeah.
But here at home we have the little one, and it's the perfect size. You can put a few. You can use it to burn incense. You can use it to just burn papers and whatnot. And it is.
That's what, 4 inches across, maybe.
It's about 4 and a half inches across, and it's got little legs. It is, what do you call it?
The pokey pot?
The pokey pot.
Whatever.
The Pokemon pot.
Yeah.
It's got little legs. It's cast iron, and I also sprinkled some frankincense tears in the bottom of it, and after the ritual and after it stops raining, we've had rain off and on all week, and it's a little unusual for here in Northern Virginia. Usually our August is more dry and punctuated by the occasional thunderstorm, but not quite this.
No, this past week has been a lot more wet.
It's been more soggy.
Yeah.
Been more
yeah.
soggy for
yeah.
sure. So once the rain stops, we'll bring it out and we will
light it up.
And so let's continue focusing on these energies, these things that we want to continue to harvest.
Mm-hmm.
We want those things to continue to grow and flourish. Can be good life habits. It can be continued improvements on health. It can be healing. Maybe you're in the very early stages of healing from any number of ailments.
Or loss. Trauma. Healing in many ways.
It can be physical. It can be spiritual. It can be emotional.
Uh-huh. Yep.
And harvest and continue growth of those things that are working for you in your life and you want to increase and focus on. So mote it be.
So mote it be. And during this time, I think it's important for us to maybe send some strength out to healthcare workers in our world who are going through a lot of strain and a lot of stress, and are being, their spirits are being continually tested, I think, on a daily basis right now. This has been 16 months of a very tough time for our healthcare workers. Here on the radio now, I've been hearing doctors and nurses in some of these places that are just being swamped with COVID cases on top of the regular stuff that they get anyway, and how challenging this has been, and how they're just, many of them, I don't blame them for this. They're burning out in a large way because they've been dealing with this. They thought there was a light at the end of the tunnel when the vaccine came out and people aren't taking it and they're getting sick and they're going to the hospitals. And they were really, there was hope. And for many of us, there still is. But for our healthcare workers, it's really tough. So if you ever have a chance to give thanks to your healthcare workers or to do anything for them, to give them strength, to show them any support, I think now is a good time to do that, to help them keep going. So that's my thing right now.
Healing and strength to our healthcare workers.
To our healers.
And to our healers.
Yes. Healing and strength to our healers.
So mote it be.
So mote it be. Okay.
And so like we always say that when we're doing these rituals, we are setting our intentions now, but they are time released for anyone listening later on as well. And so know that these, we give thanks to our, when we give thanks to our deities, to our sacred directions, we give thanks, but we do not dismiss.
No, we invite them. We give thanks, and we
invite them to stay as long as we like, as they like, really.
To stay with us as long as they can, whichever serves best.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't.
So we give thanks to our goddess of the moon, she who is known by many names from many different cultures. In her white and shining brilliance, may she continue to illuminate us, give us strength and healing, and be that source of wisdom. So that we may make good life choices for ourselves and for our communities. Goddess of the Moon, Selene, Luna, Artemis, Aryan Rod, Isis, Bast, and many others by many different names. We thank you. Blessed be. And we thank our spirits, elementals, and guardians of the sacred directions of North and the element of Earth, and West and the waters of the Earth, and South and the sacred fires. And lastly, the sacred direction of East and the element of air. We thank you for the wisdom you have granted us, for providing us with abundance, strength, stability, healing, compassion, empathy, courage, protection, wisdom, and intellect. We thank you for your powers and your presence this evening. Blessed be.
Blessed be.
And as you look around you, remember that tendril of light, that bright energy that you sent out to the cosmos to connect with other members, those who are listening in the here and now, members of your tribe, your community, your circle, your coven. And look with your mind's eye to that space that surrounds your home. Bring back in that bright, brilliant light. Back into the room that you are in. Into your altar space. And bring that energy back into yourself. Feel yourself be recharged and renewed. To help you with whatever you may need. And know that that tendril of light is always there to connect you with members of your community. The circle is open, but it is never broken. Merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. Blessed be.
Cool.
And what's nice about using the jelly jar candles is that with the little tea light in there, it's more cat friendly.
Oh, yeah.
Because we always have to worry about
the cats
and where they're going to be and what they're doing, so.
Yes.
Such is the way of the mouth.
That's how it goes.
And so what do we have going on in Circle Sanctuary Land?
So, let's see. We got some podcasts coming up. So next Sunday is
Nature Mystic with Selena Fox. Those are the reruns. Sunday nights are the reruns. The encore presentations from previous podcasts. And some of them go back to when she was doing Circle Craft Studies back in 2012. And sometimes they're more recent, like from like last year. The next one coming up on this coming Sunday, the 22nd, is Full Moon Meditations. And then next Sunday after that is Daily Spiritual Practice on the 29th. And those are from 2020 and 2012, respectively. On Lunatic Mondays with Laura Gonzalez, she's going to be speaking with Laura Tempest Zacross on the 23rd.
No, it's Zacross.
Zacroff? Oh, okay. I got a typo. So, Laura Tempest Zacross on the 23rd. That'll be really interesting. She's got some really cool books out. Deborah Rose had a talk with Jason Mankey this past Tuesday. That was really fun. He's a great guest and an awesome person to listen to and support. We think he's just cool. Nature Spirituality with Selena Fox coming up on Wednesdays. Next Wednesday is Sacred Sun Charms. So she's been talking about the sun this month on her live shows on Wednesdays, and this time around is Sacred Sun Charms with sun magic with herbs, trees, stones, and symbols. We did our bit, and we got stuff next month. Stay tuned for that. And then on Pecados del Mundo on the 21st, Harvey Tuleva has a program in Spanish, and then Patricia Finkler will be, she's got a topic, and she's from Brazil. So that's the multilingual part of our programming. That's one of the shows that's like, and that one, Pagados do Mundo, is usually, it's either, depending on the host, it can either be in Spanish or Portuguese. And the hosts are around the world in various places.
Right.
Which is kind of cool.
Brazil, Mexico,
Laura, Chicago.
Laura, who was in Chicago, but she is also from Mexico.
She's from Mexico, yeah. Christian Ortiz from, yep. So, yeah, so there's, Spain, Mexico, Spain, Chicago, Portugal. Brazil, rather. Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking at his website. So that's cool. That's the podcast stuff coming up. And then we got the schedule for next month is in progress. So stay tuned for next month's podcasting schedule. That'll be posted on the Circle of Sanctuary website, and the episodes will be posted on Blog Talk Radio as well.
Right.
What else is going on in the Circle? We got Green Spirit coming up.
No, but we just had.
They just had Green Spirit.
He just had.
Oh, we missed Green Spirit.
Poor things. The next thing coming up on Circle Sanctuary land is the Sacred Fire Circle, and it is happening over Labor Day weekend?
September 2nd.
Okay.
6th.
Yeah, Labor Day weekend, dude.
Yeah.
And I know registration is still open for that. It is an outdoor event, so you're going to be outside in the woods working with fire, and there's usually lots of singing and drumming and lots of intense experiential stuff that is going on for that. Let's see, what else? Oh, also, in September, Byron Ballard is going to be our guest on the next Moon Magic Show on Thursday, September 2nd. She is an awesome guest. We've had her on our show a couple of times. I think Laura may have had her on. I know Deborah Rose has had her on her show in the past.
Yep.
And she's also been a guest at a speaker at a number of events here on the Eastern Seaboard and other places. So stay tuned for that. Again, that is September 2nd on our Moon Magic show.
The discussion show.
The discussion show, that's right. Okay, Dave, so what have you decided we're going to listen to as we close out tonight?
I haven't. Hang on.
Processing. Please hold. Now, last night at Selena's show, we did Kellyanna's Loose song, and I know that somebody else.
Celia.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Well, Dave the Bard has a Lunasaw dance.
That is true.
Let's do Dave the Bard.
Okay.
Dave the Bard, Lunasaw dance. Y'all take care. Be safe. Be kind. Be good people.
Be cool to each other, and we'll see you
in a couple weeks.
Yep. In the ether.
Uh-huh. We see you in our mind.
That's right. Sure.
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Blessed be.
Blessed be, everybody.
At the festival sounds a horn calling the people again. Child of Bali Cornelius, Samavon rapping like the grain.
thank you for joining us on the Circle Sanctuary Network podcast, presented by Circle Sanctuary and produced for all who follow the Nature Center paths. Join us here throughout the week for various programming connecting the community around the world. And please don't forget to watch for updates on the Circle Sanctuary website at www.circlesanctuary.org. And follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/CSNpodcasts. We can also be found on your favorite podcast hosting sites, such as iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and others. And until next time, many blessings.